Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey!
And so I can't believe that we missed actually having Bill jump out of that cake, though.
You were in charge of that.
We have
audio proof of that.
That happened.
It was your responsibility.
Bill's still covered in frosting, but due to camera technical difficulties and apparently not hitting the record button, you missed a footlight parade level cake explosion.
Yeah, that's totally what happened before the show.
That was also a sweet movie reference that I guarantee you nobody outside of Mike Wendt got.
Or foot cake?
A footlight parade.
Footlight parade.
Yeah, that was
that's like the gay pride parade for teenage youth that work for Shredder
for foot fetishes.
Yes,
yeah, the foot parade,
the footlight parade.
The
footlight parade's that one at the beginning of the Great Movie Ride where they're all on that cake.
Yeah,
and there's a bunch of
it's like spinning around. Yeah,
there's a big aquatic dance number.
Shout out to all the youth out there discovering who they are and embracing who they are. Be yourself always and stop working for Shredder. It's okay to be curious. It is not okay to try to kill the Ninja Turtles. Thank you so much for joining us live.
Yeah, on a birthday edition.
Yay! Is this the first time that it's been my birthday's been a Wednesday?
I want to say it has to be.
It might be.
Yeah, I don't remember another one.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I got Jamie goes, so you're not going to like do the show tonight, right? I'm like, well, I've been doing it for 5 straight years.
Yeah.
So turning 21 again will not be the reason to bang out this time. So, thank you.
A thing happened.
Oh, did we get
shout out to Insidious Pie.
Yay!
100 heart things.
Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Wow, if you subscribe. And also, I didn't read it. That's a lie.
You fucking liar.
Let me crumble that lie up into a ball and throw it away.
You fucking monster.
I was watching a Twitch stream, and
the opposite of reading.
Right, the exact. I was staring at somebody else do something I could do. And it was a content creator that said there are over 200 million unclaimed Twitch Prime subscriptions around the world.
Yeah.
And
of course,
like, well, use them. If you have Amazon Prime, you have a Twitch Prime account. You don't even know it. All you got to do is you go twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. And then you go subscribe. And they go, do you have Amazon Prime? And you go, I do. And they go, then you're all set.
Yeah.
And we get $5 a month and Jeff Bezos doesn't. I just think that's a great deal. That guy has got so much more money than we do. Like at least twice as much.
At least.
Subscribe
for his birthday.
And
make his night.
There you go. Yeah. Subscribe. Yeah. That could be like people are like, what can a happy birthday? It's like, you subscribe to him on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders.
Or Patreon.
Patreon.com/.
Maybe both. Right. If you're feeling froggy.
This is going to be a really fun one because we're going to completely preview Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
We looked at each other and we were like, do you think people are like super interested in this for the show? And like, I think they're interested enough to talk about it. So we're going to do that on Patreon. We'll get a complete breakdown. We'll be live right back here on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV.
Very fun fact for that post show for Extreme
Rules.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Earlier in the day, my flag football playoffs.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to find out whether or not I'm a flag football champion not after.
So there could be, this is a good day for me. Sunday's going to be a good day for you.
Yeah.
What a run we're on here. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. This week, we're going to break down everything about Extreme Rules. And again, we'll be live for everybody right back here, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV after Extreme Rules. We're looking forward to that. But there is still a lot to talk about this week. And thank you to everybody that wished me a happy birthday at New Age Insiders. It means a whole lot to me. And thank you to Nicole and Dylan. I got a pizza delivered to me at work today.
Remember that time that Chip Pocket delivered a pizza?
He did. We were at a wedding. And then
Dylan Nicole's wedding.
And then Chip pulled a phone out of his pocket, and then he goes, oh, look at that. I got a pizza delivered to work, and it's like there. Or home, right? Was it home?
It was his work.
Oh, was it work? And it's like there. They got it, and I paid for it, I think. Because Chip's life is unbelievable until you, like, my favorite thing about Chip is definitely when people actually meet him in person. It's whether it's NAI Mania, we get a chance to meet people all the time. We love you guys. And they're like, I thought you were exaggerating about Chip.
Oh, no.
And you were not. And that is everybody, every time.
That's the best.
That's Chip's Amazon review. Yeah. I thought you were joking. You weren't.
Yeah, right. It's my favorite. I absolutely love it. Him and I, we hang out like quite often, like the past like month or two.
I mean, he is a really good guy. I will never admit that.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it was so goddamn funny. He got Baby Einstein or something stuck in my head because we were trading off absurd... We're trading off absurd songs.
He dresses like he could shop at Baby Gap lately. He's full on like,
but like lumberjack Baby Gap.
I think that
lumberjack Baby Gap.
This is like the phase of Chip's life where he's like, take me seriously. And we're all like, no. Chip. He's like, call me Adam. It's like, absolutely not.
Yeah, right. He's that kid that like you went to high school with, and then he went to, like, you all went to the same college, and they're like, call me by this name now. And it's like, no.
Right. Like, he, like, with between the man bun and like the new, like, new look and stuff.
The lack of cowboy boots.
Yeah, he is the kind of guy that's like, people at work call me Brazen. Call me Brazen now. It's like, absolutely not, Chip. Are you for real?
Yeah, no, Chip Arbusto.
I call you, right. Yeah, billionaire playboy. And
yeah, billionaire playboy, Chip.
World traveling philanthropist.
Yeah, Chip Arbusto.
That's outrageous. I am not.
You're going to get another sunburn, you asshole.
I am not calling you Brazen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. All right, so there is plenty to
Yes, I did sing Baby Shark on that same trip.
Yeah, Baby Shark is like stupid addicting. Like,
it is.
Like, and it's funny too, because like, I remember like a year and a half ago, my sister played it. Because she has a baby, and they were like, yeah. And like my older nephews and nieces were like, yeah, it's a song. And then I was like, okay. And then like all of a sudden it was like a phenomenon. You didn't have to have a baby. And yeah, here we go.
Because you got to do the hand motions.
Oh, I would assume that this is like really one of those things where you go into a lab and you figure out what tempo is most appealing to the human brain.
Yeah.
And create it around that tempo because there's nothing to it. There's no substance. It's just this it's just this da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just think is the weird chimp part left in our brain is just like tapping along no matter
what. Well, it's like the three chord song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Where it's just like it just that's the popular song. And so no matter what the words are, unless it's Train, because Train can go fuck itself.
I hate that band.
I hate that band too.
I hate that
the worst part is they made Drops of Jupiter, which is I think their only original song, and then all they have done is just take the established songs and then just make new words.
Right. They did like that song was like play that song.
Yeah, that's the only song everybody knows how to play on the piano.
Right, yeah, and that's just that's just
ding, ding,
exactly,
ding,
and it's just
ding,
like
ding, ding,
and
ding,
he
ding.
And he puts this like wrote it in a half hour level lyrics over it to play that song, the one she wants to do. Oh, na, na. And it's like that's like a grandma around a piano being like, look, I can freestyle, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's nothing. Oh, Train is the worst. You're right. That is all they do.
And then the one, the hit before that was just Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, they're not great.
I fucking hate Train.
Oh, Train.
God. Okay. God, I hate him so much.
All right.
I didn't hate was Aladdin.
Oh, okay. That's as good a segment segue as we were going to pull out of that. Because, I mean, like, you know. Really, because it's, you know, what do you think? Train.
And
you can train your whole life, but you have to be born a diamond in the rough. I don't know if that's better.
They had a train of elephants when Prince Ali showed up.
Nope, only the one elephant.
Yeah, well.
Only the one elephant. It was Abu. He had the monkeys is the one part of that song where they really wanted to hit home that he's like, this guy has monkeys.
Yeah, he's got the monkeys.
It's like three or four different times where they mention
how the monkeys.
The man brought monkeys.
He did.
So really quick before we talk about Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch just rubbing it in all our faces that they are in love, what did you think of the live action adaptation of Aladdin?
I liked it. I thought it was fine. I still think that the cartoon was better, but the reasons I ended up missing Robin Williams. That being said, I really liked Will Smith.
Yep.
He was the Will Smith in that movie. When I was watching it, I very, very much was like, this is what was missing from Men in Black International.
Yeah. Fun. So here's the thing, I'm really not even throwing a great deal of hyperbole around when I say this, because I think that in their fields, they are these apex people. I think that Robin Williams is the Marlon Brando of improv, yes, spastic comedy.
Correct.
Right?
Well, I mean, so much so, and I don't know if people know this. You might know this, Bill. I don't know if he knows this. So traditionally, in sitcoms, it was three cameras, right? And so it was one in the middle and then two on each side to capture everybody's stuff. Well, when Robin Williams started the Mork and Mindy show,
yeah,
they added a fourth camera. And what that fourth camera was trained solely on Robin Williams. And the reason for that was because he kept just doing shit.
Yeah, right.
And it was so funny. And they were like, did we get that? And they go, no, we didn't, because we were on Chachi.
Yeah.
And that's always the wrong answer.
Oh, no.
You know?
But Joni loves Chachi.
Yeah. But so they developed having a fourth camera on sitcoms because Robin Williams would just go.
Yeah.
And they needed to make sure that they caught that stuff.
A very underrated movie in there, because it stars Hugh Grant and he's yucky, but it's still a great movie. Have you ever seen 9 Months?
Yeah.
He is the doctor, Russian doctor in that movie, yeah, that basically wrote his own part, you know, yeah, what I mean, the whole time, and it's fantastic. But the reason I bring that up is because there are parts of Aladdin that were drawn because Robin Williams sat in the studio and just threw out the lines, so they were like, oh, I guess this is in the script now, and I guess we got to draw it, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
Like famously, like the like one scene that was all him was when they jump on the carpet in the Cave of Wonders, and he goes, the exits are here, everywhere! And so they had to draw like 15 hands and stuff, right, in 1 second. You know what I mean? And like that kind of thing. But the reason I bring that up is because, like, so Marlon Brando is widely considered to be the greatest method actor of all time,
yes,
right? And so as far as like improv spastic lead comedy guys, I think that Robin Williams is of the ilk of Marlon Brando,
right,
that we're just talking about subsex here, right? And so inevitably Will Smith was going to walk into a role that people were going to, yeah, be like, because it's Robin Williams and he's the best and the genie, like,
right, we remade The Godfather,
right,
people would have the same reaction if somebody else was to play,
exactly,
Don Corleone.
Exactly. You just be like, good luck and I'm watching you,
yeah,
and like what you need to do, to be fair, is just to go, this movie stands alone, because what Will Smith didn't do in this movie, and this is a spoiler-free one, I would
sure
say.
The movie came out 2 months ago. We're fine.
Also, it's exactly like the cartoon.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, but what Will Smith didn't do was a Robin Williams impression.
No, he did not.
That was the best part, is because, no, he was just like, literally, well, I saw on when he was on Ellen, and he goes, I was for the first time in 20 years, I was trying to be the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was his motivation for the
and
for
that
the
definitely shone through. The other part too was the character was written differently.
Yeah, right.
You know, and
That guy really wanted, like, the genie wanted to be free so he could go to Disney World, whereas like Will Smith wanted to like live.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And he liked that girl.
Right.
You know what I,
yeah,
mean? And so he had more three-dimensional emotions than Robin Williams' version, and I did appreciate that.
Yeah, and I thought the best changes they made were like Jasmine being like, because Jasmine in the cartoon is a strong character.
Right.
But in this one, she's like even stronger, and I won't give away the ending, but
there was a weird song breakdown.
They pay her off. Which,
towards the end.
That
weird, like,
I Won't Be Silenced.
I Won't Be Silenced.
It was a continuation of the song from earlier in the movie.
Too. No,
it was a reprise.
I definitely got what it was.
Yeah.
It just kind of came
she
out of Thanos'd nowhere.
She Thanos'd everybody around her while she was,
yeah,
singing.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? So I also finished the season 3 of Stranger Things.
Oh, so did I.
And so there's a very similar situation where,
yeah,
it's like all of a sudden it's just like, wait, we're doing a musical number now?
Yeah, and my only critique, and it's a huge one, is Jafar was terrible. Poorly,
yes,
poorly,
oh,
cast, poorly.
Was,
I think that's
bad.
Widely.
Poorly casted, poorly acted. He was the worst part of the movie in a movie that really doesn't have anything that was bad.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's a good thing overall,
yeah,
but when you're the only bad part of the movie, you're terrible.
Oh, yeah.
You know
stand
what I mean?
Out.
Right, you know what I mean? And so
out.
It's not like, oh, I think they missed on Bing, Boom, and Bat, and like, Raja didn't look good. No, Raja looked great.
Oh, the tiger was great.
Iago, they did a great job. I understand why they did with Iago what they did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They put a level of realism,
right,
to the animals.
He was far more Jafar's sidekick than comic relief.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie.
That was the goal was to use Iago Iago as like, and quite frankly, I'm glad they did because the only thing scary about Jafar was the parrot.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That was it. The only thing scary about that dude was a parrot. Poor casting, poor acting.
Yeah. Awful.
And it matters.
The voice, man. The voice is what got me.
He was like,
if Jafar looked like that but had a voice like this, like something that was a little more terrorizing, I guess.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with it.
He wasn't physically imposing.
His motivation was kind of lame.
I'm always second place.
Yeah.
It's like, no, Jafar's straight up evil. You know what I mean? And I don't get why he wanted to attack the world. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, he wanted to like take over a bunch of different other countries.
It was just terrible casting, terrible acting.
We're going to invade other countries.
And it matters because it's not like I'm like, oh, the Sultan was bad. Well, the Sultan's ancillary. Jafar matters.
Yeah, because the funniest part about that was when he finally, here's the deal. Spoiler for a movie that was made in 94. When he gets the genie and wishes to be Sultan, I'm really glad that they addressed the one thing that I always had with it, where it's like, it's a title.
Right, don't listen to him.
I'm the Sultan now. And it's like, cool, you got a new outfit?
Yeah, I know you took my hat, but I saw you took my hat, and everything's all black
like,
now.
Like, that guy's still alive.
Right, like, so you definitely redecorated very quickly, right? But you're not, like, in charge just because the hat? Are we doing the hat? Yeah. Really? The hat matters that much?
Mm-hmm.
I could have got the hat.
A different Cobra staff.
Yeah. Could have made the hat.
Upgrade.
Could have made the hat.
Yeah.
Great movie, though. Go see it. All right. So, Princess Jasmine.
Yeah.
Prince Ali.
Yep.
Fabulous-y. Ali Ababwa.
Yes. Can you show me where Ali Ababwa?
Can you show
I
me?
Popped Ababwa. So hard for that scene. Did you notice the
it
stuff?
It was the castle.
It was a map of Fantasyland.
It was
Where he pointed it out on the map there to Jasmine.
Yeah.
And then Abu and I think it was Abu who built the Magic Kingdom castle in the desert.
Yes.
You know who else are in love?
Who?
Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Big time love.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
So is that what we're doing?
Spider-Man's next.
Okay. Then let's do that. All right. You saw Spider-Man 2. I thought we were gonna chop this thing segmented wise. So Spider-Man. I saw Spider-Man over the weekend.
Yes.
You saw Spider-Man first, Bill saw Spider-Man third. So what did you think of Spider-Man Far From Home?
So the interesting thing about this entire movie is that it closes out phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic.
What does that mean?
So basically,
what does that mean?
So they take them in segments, right? So if you look at phase 1 was Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk, Thor, Iron Man 2, Captain America, the first Avengers film.
Okay.
Right. And so that's phase 1. And so basically what you can do with the MCU is take them almost in seasons.
Okay.
Right. And then from Avengers to Avengers Age of Ultron, that's phase 2. From Avengers Age of Ultron to Infinity War, and ultimately Endgame is phase 3. But obviously Spider-Man closes that out, not Endgame.
Okay.
Right? So that's what phase 3 is. Basically, it kind of resets the universe and kind of says what the next overarching theme will be over the next slate of movies.
So this movie's definitely too early to start breaking things down spoiler-wise.
Right.
But what I will tell you is, just if you haven't seen it yet, there are two post-credit scenes.
Yes.
One of them that makes you go like, whoa, for Spider-Man, which is not a spoiler.
Right.
And then the second one that makes you go like, what? Because I have to talk to you off the air about this, but as a nerd, a registered card carrying nerd, not only do I have questions after that second scene, I have like the whole thing questions now.
Yeah.
Almost everything questions.
Yeah.
And just curious as to what the answers will wind up being, that kind of stuff. So again, because it's too early to spoil, just what did you like about Spider-Man? Why would you recommend it or not recommend it?
So a lot of people don't like Iron Man 3, and I like Iron Man 3 for what it is. I think it could have been better, but one of my favorite things about Iron Man 3 was Tony Stark emotionally dealing with the post-traumatic stress of the events of the Battle of New York in the Avengers game, or in the Avengers movie right before it.
Sure.
So this film deals with Peter Parker and the aftermath of the events of Endgame, right? And where do we go from here? Because it asks a lot of the same questions, and this is in the trailer, so this isn't a real spoiler, but everybody is asking the question of who will be the next Iron Man? Who is going to be the leader of the Avengers? Because, you know, as far as everybody
knows, really has become Marvel's, like, Superman.
Kind of, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, at least in the MCU, right. Definitely.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, and so... Yeah, there's a lot of questions as to, like, who is going to take that mantle. And Spider-Man basically kind of is the de facto, right? And yeah. And it's how does this kid kind of factor in having great power and great responsibility with also being a kid?
And I've talked about this a little while back, but what I've really believed this whole time is what they're going to do, and especially as you know, because you really... broke down well what, you know, the phases are and how we're transitioning. I've always thought that what they're doing is they said, okay, Thor, I don't know what we're going to do with Thor, but I have a feeling that there's only one, probably one more movie called Thor, and then he'll be a character in other things, is what I expect, right? And so what's going on here is there was this, like you said, there was this chunk of characters where, and now that what we need you to do is the actors are done, right?
Right.
People are dead. People are old. People are moving on, right? The actors, because the real reason is because the actors are done. And so what I need you to do is, oh, if you liked fun magic space guy, Thor, you're going to love Doctor Strange.
Right.
And if you loved Captain America, you're going to love Black Captain America. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? And if that's going to be the parallel here. And for me, it always was going to be, if you liked super intelligent technology man with Iron Man, you're going to love Peter Parker. And that is exactly what's going on here, is that in the Avengers, the role of super smart guy that handles the tech was always Iron Man.
Right.
And now moving forward, that'll be Peter Parker. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's a great way to say, like, we're moving on. Like, I'm trying to think of their parallel. I guess, like, Hawkeye or Black Widow, right? If you liked those characters, or even kind of, I guess, the Incredible Hulk, who I think is taking a huge step back coming forward, you're going to love Black Panther. That's what we're doing here.
Right.
And Tom Holland is great. Spider-Man is my second favorite superhero.
Right.
And this is the best they've
done. He's fantastic. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a great job in this movie.
Me too.
He was fantastic. You know,
Zendaya is a good Mary Jane Watson. She's a good character and played well.
Right. And then, you know, I think that just kind of going forward, because the way that this film ends is very, very indicative of what's going on. This is the end of the season where we get the cliffhanger, and it's like, oh my God, what's going to happen next season?
And you can tell, and this isn't a spoiler either, but what they did was they went like, yep, this is the world now.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Right.
We told you.
Oh, that was the best part. In the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And this is something that Marvel has done a great job with, and to their credit, they've handled perfectly. They handled the snap in the exact same way that they handled Terrence Howard going away and Don Cheadle coming in. It's Don Cheadle walks in there, he goes,
just be careful with spoilers.
Oh yeah, he just goes, yep, it's me. And we're moving on.
Right.
And that is exactly how they handle the end of, like, the big questions of Endgame, where it's just like,
and the answers make sense.
It makes perfect sense. Going forward for season 4, I am very, very excited as to where we're going, because I think I know exactly where we're going.
New Wolverine. That's what the people actually want. The X-Men. Done well. Never been done before. Those movies are terrible. Even the one you like is bad. Seriously.
Yes.
Even that X-Men movie you like out there listening to me and you're like, no, what about this one? It's still bad. It might be the best of the bad X-Men movies, but they're all terrible.
Right.
Every single one of them. All of them are bad. All of them.
Yeah.
Even that one. All right. So it might be bad. It might be good. It might be great. I have a poll that we can actually reference the people. But I'm just going to throw this out there as open-ended, because right now, we're going to be talking about Extreme Rules on patreon.com/newageinsiders, right? But what do you think about the very public relationship? Because here's the thing, is that Extreme Rules is coming up on Sunday. And so the story usually would be there's a tag team match where two titles can change hands.
Right.
But going into it, it's almost secondary to the fact that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are now such an on-screen couple that they're calling it a Seth Rollins t-shirt on the shop that says The Man's Man. That's not a Becky Lynch t-shirt that you buy because you want to pretend you're her boyfriend. That's a Seth Rollins t-shirt that says the man's man. So what have you thought about this on-screen relationship they have, this progression, and where we are now?
I think that this is indicative of how the product is not good.
Okay. Do you want to know what the people think real quick?
Yeah, what do the people think?
So I gave, and this poll was still active because it was, I'm going to leave it up for a week at New Age Insiders on Twitter. You had four choices. The question was, how do you feel about Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch's very public relationship? You could love it. You could love them but hate this. You can not like it or you don't care. Only 10% loved it, but the rest is sort of split. 35% love them but hate this. 35% don't care. 20% just flat out don't like it. So most people either seem to be like rolling their eyes or they just are indifferent to it.
So this is a problem that I have with WWE and storytelling, right? Because on the one hand, right, you're telling me that this, you're going to pay attention to everything that's going on in these characters' real lives. Cool, WWE. Good job. I really like this. You're blending what's happening on social media and things that are happening outside of your Monday and Tuesday night programming, and you're trying to bring it into your stuff. Great. Awesome. That's progressive. That's very good. I applaud you for that.
Okay.
Now, the other side is, are you for fucking real? You think that if they lose on Sunday to Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans, that they're going to break up? The real couple are going to break up.
The real couple, Rolla.
It's like you're. That's where this is
so
stupid.
What I think about this is like, just as a jumping off point, is I think what this is they are terrified of getting caught. Remember about 2 years ago when Lana and Rusev, right? And so Lana and Rusev are in the, is supposed to be, Warren and Summer Rae was involved, and Dolph Ziggler and all that stuff. And then they, Lana goes on Instagram and ruins it, right? The one time they cared about kayfabe in the last 20 years, but they, she goes on there and ruins it or whatever, whatever.
Right.
And I just think that, like, it's the same, and it's as might as it, weird as it might sound to draw a line to it, it's why they did the Dean Ambrose thing. Why they released a statement that said, yep, Dean Ambrose seems like he wants to get on out of here, but we still love you, big guy, and we hope you come back real soon.
Yeah,
it's because, well, some major outlet got a hold of it. It had legs, and they go, okay, I guess we just need to jump in front of this train so we control the story and don't become the story.
Right.
And so that's what this, it's a hybrid of them. They don't want to get burned by Lana, and everybody in mainstream's talking about it. That's Rusev Lana, that's Dean Ambrose, put it together, and you have Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch doing the Time of My Life thing at a house show, which they did. And it's like,
which they took from Becky, and Finn
Balor. Yes, they did. And that's true as well.
Yeah.
But like that, my whole thing is like this. I think it's like weird because, like, I'm just going to give you my full unfiltered thoughts. I think it's weird because as a human being, I never would have pictured them together as a couple, and I think it's weird that they're together. I'm not rooting against them. I just think it's strange. Then I see them as characters who have no interaction, no history of interaction at all. And now because you're boyfriend and girlfriend, like, like now not only are you have to be in each other's on-screen lives, but you, that's who you're.
That's your identity.
Your character, Seth Rollins, is now the man's man. Seth Rollins, the WWE champion, because Universal champion, whatever. Raw's the better show, but whatever. That guy, his character is Becky Lynch's boyfriend.
Yes.
That's who, that is who he is, because all he does is every 6 months pin a random top shelf guy and then throw their name before the word Slayer.
Yes.
And then date Becky Lynch. And it's like, that is, I hate that for Seth Rollins. I hate that that's, this guy is the Universal champion going out there on Twitter with every cannon he's got to be like, my company's still got legs and we're out here being amazing, right? And this guy's identity is literally summed up in a t-shirt that goes on Becky Lynch's boyfriend.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And but beyond that, because I can take the, you know, eye-rolling part of it like I think a lot of people online can, but here's the thing. What's the payoff?
Right.
The harsh reality is, didn't you learn anything from Nikki Bella and John Cena? Most of these relationships, like almost all of them, don't actually work out. And so I'm not rooting against anybody, and I'm not trying to be some sort of dick right now, but What happens when Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch break up?
Matt Hardy and Lita.
Do they do that on... Right. Do they do Matt that Hardy on... Lita. Yeah, right. And I don't even have something potentially as interesting as Edge to throw in there and make it a story. What if they just break up? Now, do they break up on camera? Well, they broke up on Instagram, so do they break up on camera? They're dating on camera because they're dating on Instagram.
Yeah.
So my whole thing is, it's what... This is like... Too much.
Yeah.
If you saw them like on a WWE 24 kissing in the back after a match, that's cool because it's like, yeah, we're not afraid of the truth. But the fact that now these two champions, this is just who they are, is they're basically a figure skating couple.
Again, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay with.
I don't love it.
I'm okay with them. Like, the interaction that happened for Stomping Ground. I'm okay with.
Okay.
Right? Like, if that's the level of their relationship where it's like, yeah, Baron Corbin was a dick and was like, yeah, I know what I'll do. I'll make a woman the referee, and then that way
you can't hit her,
right? Because you've been beating up all the guys. And so then when that chick starts, like, fucking up Seth Rollins' world, yeah, his girlfriend comes down to even the odds. Cool. Awesome. Great. She high fives. She slaps his ass on the way out the ring, and we don't talk. We all know it, but we don't talk about it again. Cool. Yeah. Great. Right. And then if a situation like that arises the other way or again, then we have that in the back of our mind. They can hang out in during backstage segments, and it's not weird, you know, because I do like that. WWE has presented a reality in which all of these characters just come behind this curtain and they're alone. And it's like, no, they do have interpersonal dynamics, and this show would be more interesting if we knew those interpersonal dynamics.
That's why people watch Total Bellas.
That is why, exactly. And so that I'm okay with. But then for you to insinuate that it's like, no, now at Extreme Rules, we're going to have an intergender tag match in which both belts can go on the line. And it's going to be so devastating if Baron Corbin pins Seth Rollins that Becky Lynch will dump him. It's just like, God, that is...
And what's the payoff? They're not going to fight.
They're not going to fight.
And then, like, I know there's somebody out there screaming at me. And you might be right. Well, what happens if they get married and they live happily ever after? And they're that 1% of wrestling couples, maybe. What happens when they break up?
But it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to this part of the argument, right? Whether they stay together forever or break up next month. The point is that WWE is now presenting a world to me that, based on the reality of life, they have come together in this situation and have acknowledged that they're a real-life couple.
That sounds like something a hippie minister says at their wedding.
I am. I am a minister of the Universal Life Church.
They have come together through the tenderness of circumstance of life.
But seriously, it's like WWE is acknowledging that they're a real-life couple, right? And so you're going to have them tag together, but if they lose, they're going to break up on screen, even though we know that they're still together.
And also,
that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Almost as dumb as the end of Raw this week.
It's also just a 40-year-old tag team trope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We lost, and now there's division, and this ship might sink. This isn't groundbreaking.
No.
Not that everything has to be an original plot. You know what I mean?
No, like, but again, you've based this particular plot on something that we know is not going to be the catalyst for them actually breaking up.
We're
going
to talk all about Extreme Rules on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. They have an awesome app where you can listen to the shows if you're on a plane or you're in your car and you need more podcasts and you want to support the show. twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV will send you the stream right after this. If you're listening live on Wednesdays, or patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Things start at $5, and we really do appreciate it. And we're going to talk all about Extreme Rules. So we'll predict whether or not they're going to cost each other their titles. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, this has now reached a point where it's like, yeah, now the titles are up for grabs. And again, the biggest thing for me, and I'll talk about it for Becky Lynch too, she has worked her ass off to be more than Seth Rollins' boyfriend. Now, what I will say is, this might sound weird, but I am going to say it because I believe it. I feel like Rollins is way more like, yeah, okay, honey, than she is with him.
Yes.
Which I don't like for him, but I don't like it for her either.
No.
I just think they're, and again, maybe after Extreme Rules, it's like, okay, we told a story and they sent it, and they drift.
Yeah.
And I'm open to that and I get it. But like, yeah, this is as, all my whole point is, I hope this is as high stakes as their relationship gets.
Yes.
Because after this, it's like, again, a WrestleMania moment that now you will literally not include in the future packages is about John Cena and Nikki Bella.
Right.
And you won't include him proposing as a WrestleMania moment anymore because you all know they broke up. So how can, like, and maybe Vince still will because he's weird, but in the back of your mind, don't you know that, yeah, he proposed, but didn't work out.
Yeah, right.
Is that really a moment anymore? You know what I mean? And so all I'm saying is you're putting a lot on screen into this when, unfortunately, just to be that guy, the odds of them staying together are slim. So what happens then? And then to your point, even if they are married and love each other forever, it's still gotten to be a little much.
Yeah.
So I do agree with you. And like, it doesn't make me like mad and slam my fists because, I mean, it's a wrestling show. But yeah, it's a little, I mean, they both deserve better, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I just hope they move on after Extreme Rules. That's just sort of how I feel about it. Bill, do you like it?
No, not at all. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, because this show is poorly written and it's dumb.
I think it's getting better, though. I'm going to be that guy that says it. For the last 2 weeks, something's been a little bit different.
Yeah, but at the same time, you look at the end of how Raw ended, right? Shane McMahon comes out and is just like, Roman, you're going to be tagging against me and Drew McIntyre, and I have picked your hand. I have handpicked your opponent, and your opponent is this Dorkosaurus, who is a janitor who has a limp, and ha ha ha, suck it, Roman. And so then the match starts, and Roman's fighting valiantly, and finally he tags in his partner. And then finally the partner reveals that, oh no, he actually could surprise you. And then he gets a lot of offense in and he gets the better of both Shane and Drew, which is surprising and leads to a very, very fun moment. But then ultimately Drew McIntyre, for better, ultimately, boots this dude in the face and they pin him and they lose, right? But then it's, oh, but wait, it was actually Cedric Alexander the whole time.
But he didn't win, so and who cares?
And it's like, that is what is still fundamentally wrong with this programming, right? And until that fundamental error in storytelling is corrected, this show will never get better. Yeah. Because you want me to have the moment of like, whoa, speculation, like, oh my God, this guy's actually really good. And then they lose. And so we should never hear from that person ever again because he ultimately ended up being the Dorkosaurus. And so we go off to obscurity and that's what it is. For you to then unmask him and have it be a member of your roster and then have Roman Reigns high five him like, that was our plan all along.
And our plan was to lose.
And they lost.
Right.
They lost. So WWE no longer actually cares about the moments. I mean, actually cares about the story that they are telling,
right,
and only cares about the little clip that they can post on Twitter.
You know what bugged me as much as it's bugging you? It was part of Raw. They had a intergender elimination.
Oh, I know.
That's so stupid.
And you know what felt good about it? 45 minutes after I asked all these questions out loud to Bill, I saw Lance Storm ask them on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Lance Storm's flipping smart. And so this is the thing when you call, you know, when anybody like says like, oh, yeah, you're never taking a bump. Ah. Well, what do you say to Lance Storm when he and I think the exact same thing?
Right.
You know what I mean? What how about when Dean Ambrose sits there and says the exact same thing? You know what I mean? So, bah. But anyway, it's an intergender tag team match, right?
Yep.
So let's just say, right, and I know it's like, well, dude, Lacey Evans and bah. Okay, but let's just say you introduced this concept match.
Right.
So you guys don't do intergender wrestling, unless you're doing it this time, but you usually don't. So in this match, Becky Lynch eliminated Zelina Vega,
right?
And so now we're down to Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch versus Cien Almas, right? So Cien Almas is going to take on Seth Rollins. Okay, I get it. If Seth Rollins wins, they just sweep.
Right.
What if Cien Almas had pinned Seth Rollins? Did they tie? Is he going to wrestle Becky Lynch now? Are you actually doing that? And it's like, well, dude, they didn't because it's scripted. Well, dude, then why'd you introduce this weird concept match if he could have just won the tag match?
This is why the rounds and stupid nonsense is. You wanted two singles matches is what you wanted. And
or just do a tag match.
Well, right. But no, what you wanted is you wanted to have a decisive finish so that you're no longer cutting away from action to commercials. So what in your infinite wisdom have done is created a bunch of muddied situations where we can have finishes and feel good moments or moments of anguish that lead us into the commercial break only to pick up the exact same action after the logical break in action, right? And it's like, yeah, this is stupid because instead of just having a Zelina Vega and Almas versus Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins right. match, and just cut in the middle of the action, right. which would have been jolted anyway.
This is a show about a wrestling promotion.
Right.
So in theory, this fictional wrestling promotion, which it is, this fictional wrestling promotion was okay with there being a chance that it was going to be Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch versus Zelina Vega. Like,
right.
that might have happened. You know
right.
what I mean? And then theoretically, like I said, and I'm not even being a smartass. Okay, so well, Zelina Vega's out. What if Cien Almas had pinned Seth Rollins? Do they tie?
Right.
Or are you going to make them fight?
Right.
Why are we doing this?
What the hell? It makes no sense.
Why are we doing this?
Because you've set up the rules. And again, it all comes down to basic fucking storytelling.
Yeah.
Right? It's willing suspension of disbelief. You, as in WWE and its writing staff, create the world. You set the parameters of this world. And I will accept anything that exists in this world. Case in point, Lucha Underground. Mil Muertes is some child that the Angel of Death picked up out of an earthquake that shattered his home and killed his family, and now he's some unstoppable death monster.
And Tom Cruise has paid a lot of money to follow him around.
Yes, that is 100% true. But, so that's who Mil Muertes is, and he's going to fight a person that's literally a phoenix, and he's going to murder that person, and that person's going to come back from the dead, right? Because... Oh. And that is
well, their name is Phoenix.
And their name is Phoenix, right? So, yeah, I am accepting that because that is the world you have painted for me. So inside the parameters of that world, this is acceptable. In WWE, you keep changing the fucking rules. So I can't actually follow or take anything seriously because it's like, yeah, we're going to have an elimination match, but Becky Lynch is going to pin Zelina Vega, and then they're both going to be gone from this match. What?
It's just
so. Why did we have an elimination?
That's the word that's wrong. They just shouldn't have done the elimination.
And so
part.
Why did we have an elimination match if the advantage to an elimination is that one person goes away, so that one team has a clear cut advantage?
Yeah, and even Lance Storm just goes, "How do you win this thing? Like, what are we doing here? Like, what's
right.
going on?" Like, and he asked the same question. He goes, "If CN had beaten Rollins, did they tie?" And I had literally 45 minutes before that just said that to Bill. Like, can we tie? What's mm-hmm. going on? And I know it's nitpicking, and I will say this to end it on a positive note before the break, and we'll come back and talk about Kevin Owens letting loose. I do think the show is getting better. Perfect? Amazing?
Yeah.
Like, stunning? No, not yet. Not yet. We'll see.
Yeah.
But better. It's been 2 weeks, and I would say better. Paul Heyman had to climb such a mountain.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's setting up base camp and not at the top yet... I'm okay with that because I do think he's making progress.
I always said that we weren't going to get real change until after Extreme Rules anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
That's when Bischoff takes over too.
You know, because ultimately we had stories and scripts written in theory. We had plans. Maybe plans
yeah, right.
is the right word. To Extreme Rules, right? And then after that, that's where we go. So it wasn't really necessarily going to be overnight change. Nothing ever is. But at the same time, the end of Raw. The end of Raw to me is the point where until I stop seeing that, there never will be change. You can bring in Paul Heyman, and you can bring in Pritchard, and you can bring in Bischoff. Hell, you could bring back Hulk Hogan, and it's not going to matter if Shane McMahon is going to get a guy out of the audience that's going to lose, but the good guys are going to celebrate like they got one over on the bad guys
weird.
Anyway.
And like that would have been a great, like, and I know this guy's already debuted, but forgive me. I'm just going to use names and like play with the time space continuum. That would have been a great way for Ricochet to debut if they won. Like,
yes.
if Ricochet
yes.
had been like, oh, the janitor you didn't know about, right? And, or
right.
wearing him out, anything. And then he, like, rolled up Shane McMahon, and you're like, whoa, but I picked the janitor. Because that's the other thing about wrestling, too.
Right.
Shane picked the opponent. That guy should have, that decision should have come back to bite him in the ass.
Right.
Oh, I got you now. It's the janitor. And you go, I got you now, bro. I wanted you to pick
right.
the janitor.
Right.
And you high-fived like that, but you lost.
Right.
And so, like, that would have been a great opportunity.
Ricochet's a great example. You know who would have been the best example if you really wanted to kick up this AEW WWE war?
Cody Rhodes.
Flip.
Flip Gordon.
Buy out Flip Gordon's contract, and all of a sudden, Flip Gordon's the janitor. You want to have social media talking and all that nonsense? If that handsome asshole showed up and just kicked a bunch of ass and pinned Shane McMahon, that would have been a moment. But yeah, having Cedric Alexander, who's already been on this programming for a while, get booted in the noggin by Drew McIntyre and pinned.
Wrestling would tell you that the bad guy gets to pick the babyface's opponent. So that decision will bite him in the ass.
Yeah.
That's what wrestling does. That's how wrestling works, right?
Right.
So what that really should have been, honestly, was some sort of either debut or return. Because what you could have done is instead of having the janitor, you could have had Shane McMahon walking through the halls looking for some random fan. He could have been in line wearing a Rey Mysterio mask, so it's anybody under there.
Right.
And then it's, like I said, it's anybody. It's Adam Cole. It's, you know, it wouldn't have been Adam Cole. I get you, right?
But the point is,
oh man, it's Johnny Gargano. You know what I mean? Right, like, you know what I mean? That would have been the guy. And it's just like all of a sudden this like undersized guy you grabbed from the back, you know what I mean?
Ends up being
Johnny Gargano when he taps out Shane McMahon, and that's like, oh, I got you. Right. And now Johnny Gargano's here and you're talking about both things. But now you're just like, oh, so Cedric Alexander found the fanciest way to lose a match ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's actually all that happened.
That is all that happened.
You know what I
mean? But then we high-fived like we won, and it's just like, oh, you did that? I know exactly what you did that for. You did that to close Raw so that Roman Reigns didn't have to take the pin but still lose, and so that on Twitter you could show the highlight of like, oh, and then the janitor came out, but it was Cedric Alexander the whole time. How crazy can Raw be?
No, that would have been a great debut for Johnny Gargano or something.
Yes.
That's what that could have been. And again, just, I don't care. I almost don't care who it is. Just basic to
me
anyway.
Some guy from a performance center. Like, you brought up off air, like, Santino was just picked out of the crowd and just debuted by beating Umaga.
He won the U.S. title.
He won the U.S. title that night. Right. Whatever had happened, he had won.
Or the Intercontinental, one of them.
Well, one of them. He won a title that night in Milan.
And they're like, you're here.
Yeah.
The Milan Miracle.
Yeah, and you just won. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that would have been great if it's like, yeah, we picked up this random guy out of the crowd. And, yeah, he was from the Performance Center. And instead of going to NXT, we just plucked him up here.
He was a celebrity already in a way, but that's how Kurt Angle debuted. Tiger Ali Singh was in the ring and he was about to burn the American flag, and Kurt Angle jumped the fence and gave him the angle slam. And that was his way of being like, here I am, I'm here now. You know what I mean? Something like that. You're right. That would have been like, if you have one of those guys, like the guy that won the Saudi Arabia Rumble, or one of those Chinese guys that you think you could just hotshot a little bit.
Right.
Johnny Gargano won a mask. Somebody other than Cedric Alexander, who also wound up losing.
Yes,
that's
right.
So weird. But I will, in the same breath, I will say that I do think the show is getting better. And real quick, hey, Canyon. And now when we come back, we were going to be talking about Kevin Owens and a pipe bomb. And a fun
also,
thing.
Real quick, pour one out for Denise Nickerson, who played a Violet Beauregard in Willy Wonka. She had a stroke and she's about to pass away.
The blueberry?
So only 62 years old.
She's
so
turning
very
Violet.
Young.
The blueberry girl. That is terrible.
So let's pour one out for her.
That is sad.
Chew some gum on air.
All right. I've got water, but I'm not going to pour it on the floor.
This is... We should have the floors done for his birthday.
You know what real Wonka fans should do? And I'm not telling you that I'm willing to do this because I liked the movie, but I'm not sure this much. If you really wanted to give her a tribute, we should...
I'll eat a box of Everlasting Gobstoppers?
Well, I think because of the way that she wound up eventually exploding in that movie, and that because that's what happened to that little girl, we could recreate the meal she thought she was having with the gum.
Ham and
the roast beef and the mashed potatoes and
blueberry pie.
I put a purple hue on the screen in her honor.
Oh, that's
check it out.
That's super nice.
Oh, look at that. You're turning violet, Violet.
You're turning violet, Violet. And they definitely they brought her to the squeezing room. That little girl exploded.
Oh, yeah, she popped.
And
died.
That's how you could pay tribute to her if you really wanted to, is eat that roast beef dinner with the blueberry thing that she gum. That's for her.
Or just have blueberry pie.
Yeah, or just be like, oh, that's sad, which is what most people will do. when we come back, Kevin Owens has thoughts on WWE himself that echo what a lot of fans have been saying online. We'll talk all about that and a whole lot more as we get ready to preview Extreme Rules on Patreon, the New Age Insiders. We'll be right back.
Right back.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the Noom rewards today.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email. NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com. That's NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Mikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Cut the music. I got something to say. You know what? Last week I came out here and I spoke the truth about Dolph Ziggler, but it looks like tonight someone else needs to hear the truth, and that's Shane McMahon. Now I've sat back and tried to be a good guy, a good company guy, and not piss anyone off for too long, and I'm done with that because it doesn't get me anything. So you know what? A while ago, I watched the entire McMahon family come out in this ring and say, hey, right now, from now on, we're going to listen to the fans and give the audience what they want. But the only thing that's happened since then is Shane McMahon has gotten more power, more authority, and more TV time than anyone. And trust me when I say that nobody watching ever wanted that. You know, now we have to sit back every week on every show and listen to Shane McMahon call himself the best in the world. And every time that happens, that makes me sick, makes me want to come out here and smash my head on this stupid table. You know what? Every time you call yourself
the best in
the world, that is an insult and a slap to the face to every single person in the back, in the locker room, who breaks their back week in, week out, on TV, on the road, around the world, to be WWE superstars. It makes me sick. It makes everybody sick. And you know what happens when you call yourself the best in the world? Everybody back there, including me, is thinking Shane McMahon can kiss my ass. Because that
cut
ring does not
belong. Cut his mic now. Cut it. Thank you.
It is very, very similar to everything that I have just said about Raw, where, God, I want you so badly to change for the better. And I hope that this Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman thing ends up working, right? Because that's the start of something.
Well, the thing is, so there's a lot to talk about with this, and I'm really excited to talk to you about it. And the thing about it, what this reminds me of, like, so if you ask me, like, I ask you all the time, like, what's your kind of like jumping off impression right on these things? My jumping off impression after this Kevin Owens promo, after there's a lot to it, but my jumping off is they have always had the players.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
That's it. More than about how great Kevin Owens is and what he said and what I, whether or not I think it was a controlled fire and part of the story, whatever, because we'll talk about that too. But my first thing here is, the team is so good,
right?
Because you do have Kevin goddamn Steen here whenever you actually want to use him.
Correct.
And so that is, to me, and again, there's so much to talk about with him specifically, but in the broader picture, that promo just reminds me that, yep, when you go, okay, say what you want, or hey, Kev, this is the direction, but it's unscripted per se, or at least not line for line kind of stuff.
Right.
You have the greatest wrestling roster ever assembled.
Yep.
And the only one that's as close is you in like 2003. And so, but now I would just tell you that pound for pound, guy for guy, you outdid yourself. And once again, because your AAA team is better than any other independent in the world, you're honest to God, you know what I mean? And so like you have the best team in the history of the sport. Your coaching can be suspect to frustrating,
yes,
to whatever. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the roster misses field goals and sometimes the coach doesn't know what fourth down really means. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And more often than not, it's the coaching. But the point being, just again, I the good things about this, their roster is incredible because you don't get to see that guy super often, like mean, here I roar. Kevin Steen kind of guy.
Well, that's the thing.
But he's still here.
That's the thing is when it comes out fewer and far between, right? He showed up. Wrestling's worst nightmare showed up in NXT and then beat the crap out of John Cena and then disappeared. And that guy shows up every now and then. And whenever he does, he is the most talked about thing in wrestling that week.
Certainly on that show.
Just in general. You know, it leads stories. When Kevin Steen pops up, and this is one of those great times where we're able to kind of do the both thing. When Kevin Steen pops up, and that guy is the most captivating wrestler on the roster, the wrestling world talks about it. And when you let that guy go out there and be wrestling's worst nightmare, you have something.
Yep.
And when you control him and you make him search for a friend,
keep calling him fat
and make Kevin Owens get into that box.
Yep.
He's just some other fat guy.
Right. He's not even as like neutered Kevin Owens,
right,
isn't even as awesome as neutered Samoa Joe, because at least Samoa Joe like looks meaner and taps you out and stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, Owens, with all the love in the world,
right,
just drifts into
obscurity.
He's just some guy. And he's sort of Bray Wyatt.
Kind of.
Right, but doesn't try to talk as weird.
And so here we are again at this crossroads is, who do you want this guy to be? Because if you want an A-plus player, and I said this when they signed him, get out the goddamn way. Get out the goddamn way.
Yeah.
You gave him the stunner because for some odd reason you won't let him use the package pile driver. Yeah. But
they just don't do pile driver.
Right. But whatever. Fine. So give him the stunner. Great.
Yeah.
Now let him go play the role.
Right.
Don't give him the moves. Don't give him the attitude and not follow through, because no one's ever going to actually be Stone Cold Steve Austin. But yeah, if Kevin Steen showed up and just started making trouble, I guarantee you it would be more effective than anything else you have going on.
Okay, so hear me out with Kevin Owens specifically, because I talked vaguely about how great the roster is and how he's a member of that. So now let me talk about him specifically, because I do believe that he is, without exaggeration, as talented as anybody on said greatest roster, yes, ever assembled, right? Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, you know, he's a kind of his own dude, but as good as anybody we're talking about here, right? And so now we'll talk about the stunner and this very cool bridge here, right? Why was, in your opinion, why, like the nutshell, like the core of it, right?
Yeah.
Why was Stone Cold Steve Austin so popular?
I think it had to do with the attitude connecting with the audience.
Exactly. Relatable. Oh, I like beer. I hate my boss. You know what I mean? I know that guy. I am that guy. I like that guy.
Right.
So there's a connection factor of wrestling had never televised wrestling. If you watched The Sandman, you'd seen it. But like real wrestling on TV, other than The Sandman, had never seen a pro wrestler here to get drunk and hit the boss.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so you go, there's something different about him, but more specifically, it's like, I've always wanted to get drunk and hit my boss.
And so now look at what ended up happening years later, right? CM Punk sits Indian style at the top of Raw and says everything that all of the fans have been thinking for years. Immediately, everybody gravitates towards it, right? And everybody loves it. But then WWE squashes it,
yeah.
Right? And so those are two sides to the same coin.
And you want to know the know your crazy part, which is returning in July. Yeah. You know what CM Punk was wearing when he cut the pipe bomb?
What?
A Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt.
Yes. Right. Yes, right.
That's just like the, you know, Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy, and Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln.
Yeah, right, right, that sort of thing. But it's the same side of the same coin. And the one difference in turning, and now CM Punk ended up doing all right for himself, right? You would agree? And
in wrestling.
Yes. Yeah.
In wrestling.
Yes,
yeah.
Not in MMA.
In wrestling. I thought you meant like now. Like,
no, no.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that he has a passion for NASCAR that has brought him to one of the FS channels to host that show.
No, I just don't think he likes getting punched in the face as much as he thought he would.
Yeah, right. He's hosting a NASCAR show now.
Oh, yeah, no, he's doing
anyway.
Great. You're
anyway.
You're a megastar, man. You're right. They'll never recover without you.
Anyway, not the point. we can talk about that in a different time. But the point is that there are two sides to the same coin, right? Because immediately everybody gravitated towards everything that each one of them were saying and doing,
yeah.
Right? WWE, at least in the summer of Punk, put the kibosh on it.
Yep.
They let Stone Cold Steve Austin be, and they rode with it, right? And so with Kevin Owens, he has that same skill set that both of them have.
Right.
They're charismatic. They can think on their feet. They can captivate an audience.
Yep.
And both of them, I would say, are great. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin is whatever as a pro wrestler.
Right.
But he's just as good as CM Punk as a wrestler.
Yeah, and so here's like the big thing here, and I mean this. So I never like to do this like, oh, if these two wrestlers smash it, but in this case, I'm serious. Steve Austin and the relatable factor, CM Punk and the tell it like it is factor. Put them together, and you have Stone Cold's kick-ass toughness with an awesome mouthpiece. And Austin was great, too, at talking just in a different way. And
right.
So, but here's why I bring up relatable. Because here's what you have an awesome opportunity to do if you're WWE. You want to talk about, you know, in the segment earlier, you brought up a great point. You're trying to bring this pop culture, you know, social media world into your programming. In theory, that's not a bad idea, right? If you're Kevin Owens, you want to talk about relatability factor and thinking outside the box and being innovative, even if you don't believe it, and even if you roll your eyes and everybody has a good chuckle at the script, why wouldn't you have Kevin Owens be Twitter? Why wouldn't you have Kevin Owens go out there and his job is to cut quote-unquote pipe bombs that are just the average Twitter complaint?
Yeah.
Because that way, even if nothing actually changes because nothing ever actually does,
they feel like they're being heard.
You go out there and you go, that's my guy! That's what I said! Because you know what connected with you? That pipe bomb, and there's even a little bit more to it after what Bill put that together was awesome. He grabbed the headset.
Yes.
And then he goes, you take time from Asuka and the AOP, and he started naming people, right? And that is just such a Twitter thing to bring up Asuka and the AOP and why, where are they and how, and that character, the combination of Stone Cold Steve Austin's I will legitimately beat you upness that you believe in the guy and the performer, and CM Punk's ability to be like, no one's ever said Vince McMahon's an idiot on this show before. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's been called an asshole and all this, but not a creative idiot.
Yes.
You know
right.
what I mean? And so if that perfect storm of two characters, right down to the stunner, you know what I mean? That to me would be, and I mean this, the best possible WWE superstar in the modern world.
He's the creative wrestler that everybody's made.
Right. Because the related, again, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I want to get drunk and hit my boss. Kevin Owens, I want to tell Shane McMahon he's an idiot taking up too much TV time. Relatable. I know that guy. I am that guy. I like that guy.
Yeah.
That's what Kevin Owens, and who knows, because I hate to be the Debbie Downer here. They knew he was going to go cut that promo. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they told him to. But I don't care about that as much as I care about the fact that what a gimmick that would be.
Right.
If he was just Twitter. You know what I mean? Because fans out there would be like, yeah, dude, I also hate
the problem,
everything.
The problem is that you haven't picked a guy since Roman Reigns, right? Because you picked John Cena, and then you picked Roman Reigns, and you haven't picked a guy now, and so you're floating in this weird abyss. Pick somebody that the fans like. They like Kevin Owens. And if he's going to be like this, let him be like this and see what happens.
Also, the idea that, like, here's the thing that we talk about all the time is that we've learned in our time and just, you know, realistically, right, that wrestling is a business and there's a lot of business decisions. And sometimes we've had to come on here and tell people that, like, the things that they don't like are business decisions and they're never going to change. And I don't want to be some asshole or anything like that, but it's just like, hey, it might make your viewing experience better if you change your expectations. In the plus column this time, everything that we have heard and seen and you know, everybody's talking about for, like, literally it feels like a year. We talked to Jimmy Stewart from 98.5 about this. Talked to DC from DC and Doc Talk from DDT Wrestling. Jamie from For the Pops. Talk all these guys about this. Where it seems that Fox is, their whole thing is like, have our own identity. Different show. Not Blue Raw. Different. Fox. Different. Yeah, right. Kevin Owens would be such a break from the mold if he was like,
right,
tell me about your show. You know, I'm a new Fox watcher. Tell me about what SmackDown's been up to. And it's like, this guy is Stone Cold Steve Austin, plus this CM Punk dude you heard about. He's an ass kicker who tells it like it is. Oh, okay, I'll watch that guy. Because, and this is not about him, but that's so much easier than the big dog. Well, what the fuck does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, the big dog, I'm not seven. Tell me who he is. It goes, well, he's the big dog. They haven't put enough work into the character.
Because the reality is that Fox sits in there as a viewing audience, and they go, what is this show on? 8 to 10 on Wednesday night or Thursday or whenever we're putting this on?
Yeah, right.
So it's on in the evening during a school night. Okay, so this isn't necessarily for children.
Right.
So, yeah.
This is where I slot out CSI.
I don't want you to give me a superhero.
Right.
And so I want to attract the 28 to 35s.
They're bringing back Jerry Lawler.
Right.
Because they want old fans our age to watch again.
That was exactly where I was going with it. Because it's like, yeah, so if I have to tell a bunch of new kids that it's just like, basically this guy's the second coming of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I was like, well, I love Stone Cold Steve Austin, so sign me up.
Exactly. Like, and it's just tagline stuff. And this is not about the performers. This isn't, I'm not slipping down this slide. They haven't done enough work for Roman Reigns, the character.
Yes.
Because if you go like, who is Roman Reigns? You'd go, the big dog. Okay, that's his nickname.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
At what point did he hang out with The Undertaker enough to tag with him someday?
Right, but like, I'm just talking about, like, again, guy at the bar who hasn't watched wrestling in 15 years. Who is this guy? The Big Dog. Okay, that's his nickname. Who is he? He was in this group. Well, I didn't catch the group. I don't care about the group. Who is he? It's like, he's big.
And Samoan.
Right, and he wins. Like, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm talking about the character of Roman Reigns is very thin.
He's Samoan Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Okay, so he's The Rock?
But
no.
But being Samoan is no part of his identity.
Yes.
He does, you know, like babyface Usos. Samoan was part of their identity, was their entrance.
That's true.
Being Samoan has nothing. That guy could just be named Joe Johnson, you know what I mean, in real life. There's nothing Samoan about him. You have to know what the Shield is to know anything about him, or he's just the big dog. Not a knock on the performer, a knock on the character work that they've done. If I go, who is Kevin Owens? And you go, prize fighter. His whole thing is he's an ass kicker who loves to tell the boss to go fuck himself. It's like, oh, I used to love that show.
Yeah, right.
That's all I'm saying.
And then the other thing, too, and I just want to bring this up, is WWE has always thrown it back in the fans' faces of like, hey, you know, our wrestlers have to grab the brass ring. If whoever wants to be the next top guy has to grab the brass ring. And it's just like, yeah, but you can't say that when you micromanage them and like write a terrible script
that
for
them. That is 110% it, because you're right. Like, you're waiting for somebody to be like, well, The Rock just became The Rock. And it's like, yeah, because you didn't go like put the t-shirt over Michael Cole's head and then call him a jabroni. You were just go be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Right. Stone Cold Steve Austin just cut the 316 promo because you never handed him a script. And it's just like, go make fun of, what's his name? Jake the Snake.
Right.
I need you to make fun of Jake the the snake for winning, and I don't care how you do it, just do it. Right. And that's exactly how Austin 316 says, and I just whooped your ass.
And like, look, and I'll work with you here. I'll work with you here. I'll meet you in the middle, because I know that that thing on SmackDown was a controlled burn. I know what that was, right? You didn't actually cut his mic, and he's not in actual trouble, right? I know what it was. I'm fine with it, because the character's so goddamn interesting.
Right.
And even if it is going to get washed away, it would be kind of fun to hear everybody's complaints on the show. But, like, yeah, it's the idea that, like, you're right, because if you let the guy go, he can do it.
Well,
because
it's like, let's see what Kevin Owens does. Because if you don't hand him a script and be like, Sami Zayn, you're my best friend, let's just see what if you take the shackles off and allow him to go for the brass ring. Let's see if this guy can get it.
Exactly, because it's like, yeah, it's like, well, you know, they're the brass ring guys. Like, you know who, and I swear to God, you know who's been allowed to grab the brass ring in this company in the last 6 months? The guys fighting for the 24/7 title.
Yes.
Because they've basically
they
been
care.
Like, right, well, it's basically, right, exactly. It's just like, they get to be what wrestling in this company always should be. Improv actors.
Yes.
Right, you know what I mean? Here's the scenario. You're at Spud's wedding. Go. Right? That is what it should be. Kevin Owens, here's the scenario. You're sick and tired of Shane McMahon. Go out there and talk about it. Awesome. That's creative direction.
Yes.
Without
you've given
over,
me,
well, watching
you've given
over your
me
shoulder.
The bullet points. You don't like that Shane McMahon is taking over this show, and there are more deserving members of this roster that should get a spotlight. You fill in all the blanks in between.
Meanwhile, I love Bayley and couldn't care less about what she does most of the time.
Yes.
Because most of her promos are that recorded in the back, look at the camera and say, Nikki Cross is so misguided right now. Thinking Alexa Bliss is her real friend, you should never trust her. Maybe I'll need to get a friend myself, because coming Extreme Rules, I'll be ready for... It's like, nobody talks like that! Oh my God, you're so clearly reading. I hate this.
Yeah.
Can you...
From an English major.
Wrestling never would have been popular if it was
remember
like...
Remember that time that Randy Savage just picked up a trash can, and he just walked in and was just like, yeah, look, I got a trash can, and that's what you're gonna be. I'm gonna put you in the trash.
Yeah, right.
It's like, are you for real? You picked that up in a bathroom.
I was just going to use him as an example. Can you imagine if it was like, what do you think about the big match you got with the Hulkster coming up, Macho Man? He was just like, yeah, I think that Hulk Hogan imposes himself as the ultimate competition, but alas, I will overcome the obstacles. It's like, no, it's like,
instead,
step into a Slim Jim.
No,
help
I picked up a little bit of creamer from the craft services table, and I go, the cream will rise to the top.
Right. Because we all know it, but for some reason don't unanimously say it, that he is actually the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived.
Yes.
Because of those promos and the ring work. It's him. It is him. Like, nobody ever, like, it should be this, like, unanimous thing.
It easily should be.
And everybody's like, oh, he's like top 10. It's like, yeah, he is top 10 because one is top 10. One is a top 10 number. It is him. Hidden creamers, like, because, like, he'd have one, like, he'd, like, throw one and then you think he'd be done, and then, like, a fucking magician on Jimmy Fallon, he'd be like, no, here's another one, Mean Gene, got it from behind your eye, I didn't even pull it from behind your ear, I got it from behind your eye somehow, crazy, right?
Yeah,
another creamer rise to the top, I got the goddamn best smack in the world, Mean Gene. But, like, that guy just doing it. You know what I mean? That's how wrestling
even
became.
Hulk Hogan.
Right. Even the Warrior. Talking about nothing.
Yeah.
Talking about nothing.
The plane that doesn't have a pilot and no parachutes and jet fuel, Hulk Hogan.
The things you see at your apex on peyote is just what the Ultimate Warrior lived on. He's just like, what do you see? The year is 1410. You're a young Navajo boy. You've taken peyote to go find yourself as a man. If you get to come back from the desert alive, you're in charge of the village. What did you see? It's just like... There was a UFO, but no one was flying it. And Hulk Hogan, and I'm going to... And it's like, whoa! That guy gets to be the Indian chief because he survived the alienless UFO. That was the Ultimate Warrior, but at least there wasn't a script because at the very, very least, that guy believed what he said.
Yeah.
And so it seems so crazy that as fans, we have to go like, Kevin Owens cut a very good promo that didn't feel scripted. And we have to be like, yeah, they get it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's 101 stuff. That's the frustrating part, is that I really, really do want to focus on the good. I love the potential in Kevin Owens. I love the character. The guy's the best. If you want to be like, we need a dude to be the Fox attitude, there he is. Love him. And I'm going to focus on those positives. But yeah, at the end of the day, I shouldn't have to fucking powder your ass because you let a talented pro wrestler cut a promo that wasn't to the T so much it was pre-recorded in case you messed it up.
And look, I don't know where it is on the internet, but watching Kevin Owens cut a promo on FedEx is still my favorite Kevin Owens program.
He's like, I mean,
he was standing outside of a parking lot after a PWG show, recording a promo, and there apparently was next to like an airport or a FedEx plant or something, and the planes kept flying over. So at one point, this is the promo they kept, and he just starts yelling at FedEx because this was the like sixth time they've had to do it because planes kept flying overhead, and how he was gonna take it down FedEx from the inside. It's some of his greatest work.
He really is stupendously talented. This roster is historically talented. There are guys now with, in theory, at the very least, creative liberties,
right,
that know what they're doing back there. You like Heyman. You like Bischoff. The internet keeps talking about those are the guys. Those are right. That's it. You know what I mean? It's Magic and Bird.
If it sucks now, there's nobody else to bring in.
There's the right. Because I don't know. Yeah. Right, because I don't know. You're not going to
Well, because the answer is really Hunter.
Right.
But because you know it's pride.
Not. Because we all laugh, but it's not Vince Russo. Okay, everybody, just get that idea right out of your head. And so, like, the internet darlings, these are them. This is the Bird and Johnson of internet darlings, where it's like, who would you want to run? So if you had said 6 months ago, who do you want to run Raw and SmackDown? It'd just be these two guys and a couple people that voted for Dixie Carter to be funny. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. These are the names. Because it's not going to be actually Pritchard as far as, like, the guy.
Because the answer's Hunter, but Vince won't let it go because of ego.
Right, exactly, because he'd be like, I'll show you. Yeah. You can bang my daughter, but you can't bang my company. You can't fuck me, pal. Fuck you. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes. If you are looking forward to WWE Extreme Rules, so are we, and we're going to be talking all about it. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders, or right now, subscribe to twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV, and we'll send you the link. There's tons of backlogged episodes, and we really do appreciate the support. Right back here for everybody, Patreon or not, on Sunday night after Extreme Rules. We'll be right back here, twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV, to talk all about the pay-per-view and see what happens. And you'll get our full predictions if you join us now, and full reactions if you join us Sunday. And we really do appreciate it, and we'll see you then. Is there anything you guys like to get on the air before we jump over to patreon.com/newageinsiders?
No, let's get on out of there.
Well, let's do it.
All right, so we'll see you there. My name has been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Nevin.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything, at New Age Insiders, at Liam, N-A-I, at Bill Neville, N-A-I, the website where we got everything going on, the friends, the affiliates, the shows. All our stuff and opinions on things, newageinsiders.com, twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. You can download us on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork, Norble, and Stitcher. Subscribe today as we jump over to patreon.com/newageinsiders. We thank you so much for making us the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, to discuss, and to be heard.
We out.